Grace and peace to you in God, who is our help and our joy, and in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The days are coming, says the prophet. The day of the Lord will come, and God will act, and God's presence will be known. The book of the prophet Zephaniah is filled with scathing judgment of God's people. The people of Judah have been unfaithful to God with worship of other deities. Their society is filled with injustice and violence. The day of the Lord is coming, Zephaniah declares, and it will be a day of harsh punishment for God's people. This goes on for 2.5 chapters, and then suddenly, in the middle of the 3rd chapter, the tone changes. Sing aloud, O people of Judah. Rejoice and exult with all your heart. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. Zephaniah has heard a new word from God, that the day of the Lord is not something to be feared, but a day of grace and restoration. At that time, I will bring you home, says the Lord, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes. As I prepared this week to preach about the promise of restoration, I wondered a little just what restoration means. Because one thing I have learned in this life, in the life of faith, is that we can never go back. So often we look back to the past and long to go back to the way it was. When the kids were little and the Sunday school was full. When the marriage was new and exciting. When our bodies had more energy and less aches. When our table was filled with loved ones now lost. But God's promise of restoration is not a promise to go back. Rather, what we hear in Zephaniah is a promise for renewed wholeness offered into the midst of the challenges and struggles of life. Restoration implies something has been broken, disrupted, lost. Restoration is repair of relationship to God, to one another, and to creation, and it is a gift from God. I will remove disaster from you, says the Lord. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, when I restore your fortune before your eyes. The promise of restoration presupposes the messy, hard experiences of life. Zephaniah acknowledges that the people have experienced disaster and oppression. They have been lame, outcast, and ashamed. They have lived in exile, in fear, in grief. And in the midst of it all, God will heal. God will save. God will transform. God will restore not the life before disaster and pain, but new life marked with wholeness and well-being. The day of the Lord is coming, Zephaniah proclaims, so do not be afraid. It is a full turn from his prior prophecies about a day filled with disaster and judgment. Do not fear, because God is in your midst. God is with you in the midst of all the experiences of your life. God's promise of restoration meets us right here where we are, in the midst of our real daily lives. And even more, Zephaniah tells us, God will exult over you with loud singing. Zephaniah gives us an image of God as the one who bursts into song with joy over God's beloved. The joy in this song of Zephaniah is not one-sided. It's not just God's people, who rejoice because God has forgiven and restored them. God, too, sings and shouts with joy over this love restored. The divine heart overflows with jubilation over God's beloved, which is us. Alongside the beautiful, hopeful song of Zephaniah, we read the words of John the Baptist, offering a baptism of repentance. And perhaps this promise of restoration, this song of joy in God's love for God's people, can help us better understand what it means to repent. The Advent resource from Kate Bowler says this: repenting is not a matter of first changing ourselves from bad to good so that we can be worthy of loving. Rather, repenting begins by realizing the truth that we already belong. We are already loved. John the Baptist called the people to repent, to bulldoze whatever blocks their ability to experience the coming of the Promised One, and to clear out whatever stops us from experiencing the flourishing life God has for us. Repentance begins with remembering that we are already held in relationship with God. We already belong to God. The call to repentance is the call to turn back to God, to turn our love and attention back to our God who loves us first. Perhaps this is also restoration, this remembering that we are God's and we are beloved. Pastor Steve Garness Holmes wrote a poem this week that perfectly captures what this sort of repentance, this sort of remembering and returning might look like this Advent season. It's called Preparing. The prophet cries, "Prepare the way." And we know he means justice and purified hearts. Well, and shopping, and decorating, and baking, and cards, and programs, and family plans. Either path is okay for a bit, but whichever you are on, stop. It's okay to let it all go. Prepare for something to happen inside you that can't happen with too much stuff going on. Clear the space. Stop pruning in the vineyard and walk away. Dress warmly and go out into the dark. You may go alone or with others who can hold candles in a cold wind without masking the dark silence with familiar songs. Sit at the empty manger and let its emptiness speak. Make room for newly conceived life, unknown longings. All of who you are is present, as is the holy approaching. This retreat may take a lot of time. Cookies may be neglected. Sit in the not yetness, the awful silence. Sit with the Holy Family. Joseph goes off to find a safe place, and Mary regards the manger within. This Advent, prepare for something to happen inside you, for the Spirit of God to restore you in love and wholeness. Thanks be to God. Amen.